significant and able enough to order that they exactly May 8th and the time of 9:40 a.m. We have a very dangerous committee room in the live state capitol here in Toledo. Members present are Representative Brown, Representative Bowman, and our chair, Representative Grant, and myself, Representative Diane DeStory. We have a forum to discuss business. I'd like to recognize our committee secretary, Ms. Gillian, our alliance moderator, Melissa Truitt. Thank you for being here. Before we begin, please silence your phones. Open one line, mute your microphone. Today we will take public testimony on Health Bill 164, Early Education Programs, Reading, Virtual Education. I would like to thank everyone for meeting on this Saturday morning and pledging to take public testimony until 10 a.m. I also wanted to say thank you to all the teachers out there and the School Teacher Appreciation Week, and we are so grateful for your dedication to our students. So today, I will take public testimony on the bill.
Thank you. This is basically a three-part bill. There's pre-K, the reading part, and what's called taking, just kind of curious here, our take on the children pieces. We understand that the reading part is essential, but just kind of curious what your thoughts are on the pre-K and the virtual.
Good. So, our focus for the last first is on the primary portion of it.
you know, please, submit your testimony, and ask the committee if you have any questions for that. Any questions for our representative?
Thank you, Ms. Wicks, for taking the time out of your day to testify this morning. I am in agreement with you about the writing piece. In fact, I kind of wish the schools would focus a little more on handwriting and making sure that our kids can write a readable sentence with their own hands. But I will do, I will take a good look and see if we can include that in this bill. So thank you very much for your encouragement. And I apologize at the beginning. When you introduced yourself, you said your members are your members, educators around the state.
Yes, we are. The professional organization is the International Order, State Literacy Association, and of course the International Literacy Association. We have three active local community groups. We have a Bridgewater Fairbanks and the Philippines.
You mentioned that the standardized testing wasn't necessarily measured the accomplishments or the progress, rather, of students in that community due to, of course, a different lifestyle. On the other hand, the object, I suppose, is to measure the progress or ability in a specific skill. Do you have you, has your organization put any thought into how that is that conundrum is going to be solved?
Well, we've looked at some information about being able to use writing portfolios, and written test for the I have some information about that. Thank you. the data that you're using from the site. We have found that for students who travel the most, the launch rate is around the more rapid. And I'll add that to you. On a global report that we have been out, is an English language learner. As a child, not active in my head, other parts of the country, that child is coming from a different state in a first language, and that is an important stepping stone to fluency in their second language. An Alaska native child probably does not have, in most cases, fluency in their second language. And so that they're in the world floundering to learn English, learn academic English, without the baseline of having gotten fluency in their first language. And you want to know the reason why this is the situation. So if we think of our universities and students doing an active learner in English, you know, it's our basic interpersonal communication skills. But when it comes to cognitive academic language proficiency, that's what's missing for our students. This is one of the tremendous things that the vast majority of students are needing a little bit of a leg up. However, for those students, I hope there's a lot of effective techniques for those students to have come up and for our mentors to magically move in the direction that they might have in other states. And it's very much because of the strength of our issues. And our solution, our solution that is the stepping stone, this is constituting a task force to explore what are the best practices for second language learners, indigenous second language learners who may not have strong foundational skills in their first language. Something that must have been studied in places like Arizona, Mexico, Australia, I believe the expertise is out there, but I don't believe it's in the rest of it. And I've talked with the former specialist at the department, and she asked me what the knowledge is in the area that you've been studying. So I would really like to see a task force looking broadly, just again, in other places, but that task force has to also include people who are harassing, who are already incredible work, or knowledge about innovation. So, it's crucial not to expect this one tool out there to make a difference. I think we could enhance this tool by doing a very deliberate study of what's done in other places and trying to address that instead of an updated tool to bring around our own problems. So, again, thank you for taking time on a Saturday and I'm very much appreciated.
Thank you, Dr. Brooks, and please see Richard for definitely any questions for listening to Representative Donovan. Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Rebecca. It's great to hear your voice. Just a quick question on the NAEP scores that you referred us to. Is it possible to disaggregate the scores so that we can separate urban from rural learners?
Yeah, you can go by even better. It's the whole purpose of the NAEP. And the NAEP is a good tool. It's the longest standing national assessment we have. We're only the delivery of the NAEP. But of course, the NAEP is looking actually the whole purpose to start to identify where you can see more support. And so you can take a look at where you're actually look at. I'm not sure all the subcategories, but you should be able to write down the subcategories that they, what are the basics of those? Well, what are the basic categories, basically?
Thank you, Mr. Chief, for that. I'm going to move on now to Abby Hensley. Welcome.
I'm not the best. Animal Rights Act and Ancestors for Evil Performance, Stars of One Sunday Spring, but the first three years of life are absolutely critical for optimal brain development. When you look at the topic of pediatrics, science can be a leading method of children from birth, but no longer science will stop in their age and strength, but it predicts whether that child will become a good leader. One research shows topics of visible young children are less likely to install such strange practices. But when the children are published on topics of the best of early education programs for mass mental adults, and last year, Education Lab Plus, the Violated Imagination Library, was ARASMAP, and found participation in the Imagination Library was associated with increased kindergarten readiness, higher literacy skills, and higher reading and math achievement in grade 3. I think that at least we need to talk about the future of our first spectrum of early childhood.
Ms. Hansen, well, I appreciate what you said, but if you could wrap up your comments, I'd really appreciate your engaging dialogue.
So the purpose of this presentation is to learn to invest in the children. So while this program is such a focus on children's disability, I hope next to the children to make the decision to be with their families and their learning and their community. Again, thank you very much for taking this conversation and listening to the other comments on this. It's such an important issue.
Thank you so much, Ms. Hansen, and I
just
appreciate your dedication.
Thank you.
Chelsea, I'm going to go ahead and ask a question. Thank you very much, Mr. Willis, for speaking to us today. There's a bunch of first graders that are very lucky to have you as a teacher. I would like to ask, as a teacher of the big five, using these concepts in your work, can you please tell us how writing interfaces with the big five in your work with young children every day? And what is it, what are we missing in terms of defining the teaching of writing? If it's not, in, if in your opinion, it's not included in the big five.
I'm going to take a look at the decision.
and please service your good comments if you do have them. So next we have Daniel Kemp. If you could please introduce yourself for the record and your affiliation and proceed with your testimony.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Okay, thank you. So my name is Daniel Kemp. Good morning, Dr. Fisher. Today's the co-chair of the Department of Story Program. My guest is association of school boards, as well as the board of directors of the National School Board Association. We get to address the 164. The reading portion was very good. I appreciate the great assistance within this reading portion. I certainly appreciate the help of professional development for the reading programs as well. The grants to the lowest score in distance from pre-K to start. I'm not certain about the appeals portion, but I'll see if it works. But it is a proven strategy for making kindergarten students ready to learn. But I'm sure you won't realize that what has happened over the years is that what you're learning kindergarten now, you used to learn in first and second grade. That drastically changed in the years that I've been on the board down in Cordova. This is a step in the right direction, baby steps. But pre-K is so very important. It needs to be fully included in the... We need to fully include pre-K within the ABM so it can be fully funded. The trial was nice to see that increase. But currently, much things are much to release Cordova Glassman. And yes, we are coming out pre-K open. Education funding has increased 8% in 10 years, while consumer price index has increased 27%. The health insurance has been 326%. The pretty depressing picture for education funding is good. I really appreciate the people taking time this morning and taking testimony. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll miss you guys here for calling. Yeah, I appreciate your comments. And remember, all testers online, you can email your comments to health@education.gov.
Yes.
Representative Dunn, if you find it to be fair to hear your voice, you said that the funding levels right now are leaving Cordova left, and I totally get that. I think that's an issue in many school districts. Does Cordova have the ability or grants to provide pre-K?
Not at this point, no.
Thank you.
to as you learn your way through the gigantic ASD system, if you can report to the association committee on where acreage would be in light of the plan that we are looking to pass here in health education and health care.
Thank you. And then we'll move on to Patty Smith. Please introduce yourself and put your name on the record of the affiliation and proceed with your testimony.
Yes, good morning. I'm Patty Smith. I'm calling from Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'm calling from representing myself as a teacher. I am currently a special education teacher.
Thank you.
please begin your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Barbara Reagan, and I'm a third grade teacher at Fairbanks, and I'm representing my class today. I've got family address for 14 years at Fairbanks, and I have a master's degree in language and literacy and a K-12 grade enforcement. Helping children learn to read and write is one of the greatest joys of my life. I appreciate the opportunity to share my thoughts on H1-64 tonight. And thank you for considering teachers' schedules when you arrange testimony days and times. I also appreciate the effort that is being made by the staff to bring learning and literacy, especially for our extended families. As a third grade teacher, I'm feeling the weight of some of the language and intent on the staff. We need to remember that each child is different and has different needs. Their reading develops along a continuum, and that continuum spans over time. Some students have been slipping out of the continuum and putting in more time and support. But specifically, teaching language is most concerning when we think about our students reading around this continuum. And I hope language is kept in the bag for alternative assessments and the use of portfolios to demonstrate reading proficiency. I would encourage all parties involved in this bill to really think about what Article 16 reading intervention might look like in a classroom. For example, I currently have 31 third graders for my school year. I usually average between 26 and 28 third graders in a given year. In most years, approximately a third of my students enter third grade, waiting anywhere from 3 months to 2 years below grade level. I'm concerned about the language regarding the statewide screening or assessment tool, which states it will be culturally responsive, although the language in the bill seems a little vague about the definition of response, hope some clarification can be made on that. If the statewide screening is similar to our current state and district standardized ELA testing, it won't provide the reliable or valid reading data that it actually needs. These are online tests which have reading passages that are not developmentally appropriate for an 8-year-old, so as used to reading actual books. The passages have small text with limited spacing between lines, and passages span over multiple pages, and then they have multiple-choice questions, or you just solve by point questions. Students are usually so overwhelmed by these online reading tests that they just don't get answers. In order to get reliable data, what I then have to use, what I do every year, which is I usually use the self-supported benchmark assessment or a developmental reading assessment. And these assessments allow me to sit side by side with a child and listen to their reading and help them show their thinking with me. This assessment takes about 20 minutes per student. And when I use this data to plan for their differentiated literacy instruction, the process takes at least the first 6 weeks of school to get through all of my students because, of course, I've been knowing everything that needs to get done. Most importantly, building my classroom community so I can build independence so that I can actually talk through groups to work with children. The current language is about the reading intervention will be in addition to that core reading instruction, and it will be delivered by a reading teacher or paraprofessional. And I'm just curious where these highly qualified reading teachers will come from and where will the funding come for these positions. I absolutely agree that we need to have reading intervention services in addition to the core reading instruction to make a difference. However, this is almost impossible for a primary classroom teacher to do with large class sizes and no support. Next year, I will probably be looking at having at least 5 small reading groups, and my reading groups usually have no more than 4 students per group if they really want to make a difference in reading. And now that some children are reading below grade level, I need reading intervention support. I have all the other children that I need to provide reading instruction to. If we can provide each school with enough highly trained reading teachers and a core professional, we can make a huge impact on our students' reading lives. As I mentioned earlier, I think the program has great potential to help our students reach their literacy goals, and I think it is worth taking the time to make it the best that it can be for the children of our state. Thank you so much for listening to my testimony today.
Thank you, Ms. Reagan. And if you could submit any of that in your testimony, it would be helpful, especially given how you've learned that throughout the day and perhaps I'm not able to listen to you. Any questions for Ms. Reagan? Any questions? I will close public testimony. Thank you, members. We're having a little bit of time today. I appreciate that. We agreed to get 10:10. I'm scheduled on the 2 hours this meeting. For everyone, again, I'm just going to say that I'm going to stop educating and then start with this one-day training and on this bill. Our next meeting is going to be, it's going to be Wednesday, the 12th. We don't know if it'll be our council members meeting. We will be returning to this bill. House Bill 164 has a deadline, because what we're covering right now, we just need our budget to stay at 3 p.m. Thank you very much, to stay at 3 p.m. And we will continue on with the same as talking about the first comments to this bill, because we did not get any more information to give up. We have some homework to do, and any questions that we have the members for their parts.
Put your story. I just want to say thank you to all of the folks who called in this morning. It was almost like the Home Leaders Association meeting. That we, I certainly have a lot of this different ideas, and it just shows the challenges, I guess, but also the opportunities that are out there. And just, it's just good. Self-motivated folks practicing around the time of work, it was wonderful. So thank you to everyone who's done this meeting. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you very much for my talks at
email.com. I think I'm going to try to use my ethical, it's really nice to hear people calling and hear what they think, so appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Mom. I can see you don't get that around here. We really like to be on the concept of truth lost and what is happening on the streets and how you are communicating here at the statewide. So, well, thank you all very much, and I'm going to